Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God. I want to ask you, if you brought a Bible, to open to Acts chapter 20. We're going to be continuing in our study of the life of the great man, the Apostle Paul. We're going to cover principle number 3 today, the principle of having a passion for evangelism, a passion for sharing Jesus Christ. Let's look. Verse 25. Paul says, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." Paul spent, remember, 3 years preaching the kingdom in Ephesus. During the first 3 months he was there, he met in the synagogue with the Jewish people, and then eventually the enemies that he had in the Jewish community ran him out of the synagogue. So he left. He went to the school of Tyrannus and taught there for the next 2 years. But when they ran him out of the synagogue, I am convinced that Paul said to those Jewish people there the very same thing he said to the Jewish people in the synagogue in Corinth when they ran him out of that synagogue. He said, Acts 18:6, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am now clear of my responsibility." Paul says to them, "Hey, all you Jewish people, if you miss eternal life now, after everything that I have done to try to reach you for Christ, if you miss eternal life now, then it's your fault, it's your responsibility, it's your own doing. I am clear of my responsibility." Now this explains why Paul goes on to say what he does in the next verse, verse 26. "Therefore," Paul says to these leaders of the church in Ephesus, "I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Why? "Because I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Now, what is the whole purpose of God? Paul here talks about, what does that refer to? Well, he tells us up in verse 20 that it's simply the gospel message. The gospel message is, number one, the message that heaven and eternal life is a free gift. The message, number two, that God gives this free gift to everyone who embraces Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, to everyone who trusts what Jesus did on the cross, shedding His blood as the payment for our sin. And the third and final element to the gospel message is that whether you're Jewish or Gentile, whether you're animal, vegetable, or mineral, it doesn't matter. This is the only way to get to heaven. The only way to get eternal life is through trusting what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. That's the message. And Paul says, "I'm innocent of the blood of all men because I told every one of them this message." Now, this is an amazing statement. Paul didn't say, "I'm just innocent of the blood of all the people in Ephesus." He said, "I'm innocent of the blood of all men and women that I've ever met. All the people I've ever met in every locality that I've ever visited, I have told them about Jesus Christ, so that now I am resolved, I am absolved. If any of them miss eternal life, I am absolved of any and all spiritual responsibility." This is an amazing statement. I mean, think about what this says. This says that every single person Paul ever met, there wasn't a single person ever crossed his path that he had the opportunity to talk to about Jesus that he didn't take that opportunity. That is an incredible statement. Now, you know, I wish I could make that statement about my life. I can't. In the past, there are lots of opportunities that came to me that I knew I could have stepped in and shared Christ, and I didn't. You know what, though? I've made it my goal never to have any more of those people. That from now on, that's never going to be true. That by the grace of God, I'm going to see to it that from this point on, I can say everybody that crossed my path I had the chance to, I shared with. But what we see here, friends, Paul could say that. And what we see is that the passion for evangelism, the passion for sharing Christ that he had was unbelievable. It didn't matter where he was or who he was with or what the consequences were going to be. Like John Wesley said, he saw it as his bound duty to share with everybody who was willing to hear the glad tidings of salvation. Now, folks, this is our third principle. that Paul's trying to impress upon these Ephesian elders and upon us. What Paul says to them and to us is, hey, you guys want to be mighty servants of Christ like I am? Hey, you guys want to see God use your life in an awesome way like He used my life? There are certain non-negotiables that have got to exist in your life. Number one, obedience to God. Number two, absolute surrender to God. And number three, there has to be a passion in your life for wanting to tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to stop there in the passage right now and ask our most important question. And this is going to have to last you now for a couple weeks, because we're not going to do this again for a couple weeks. So you want to make this worth it, so it'll go 2 or 3 weeks. So everybody ready? 1, 2, 3.
So what?
Oh, that was good. That was really good. He said, Lon, so what? Say, so what difference does this make to my life? I mean, how does this affect my living in the 21st century? Well, let me tell you. You know, I always like to ask the question, why? So my question here is, why did the Apostle Paul have such a passion for sharing Jesus Christ? Why? Because if we can figure out why Paul had it, maybe we can copy those same reasons and we'll have it too. Well, I think there were two reasons in his life that accounted for this passion. Reason number one is that I think the Apostle Paul genuinely cared about people. I think he really cared whether people went to heaven. I think he really cared whether people had eternal life. I think it really concerned him that there were people in our world who were going to miss heaven and miss eternal life. But I also think there was a second reason, friends, that was far more compelling, that drove this passion in Paul's life for evangelism. And the second reason is this, that Paul knew that he carried a spiritual responsibility for every person he met. A responsibility to share with them about Jesus Christ, to tell them that Jesus was the only way to get to heaven, to tell them that the only payment for wrongdoing God will accept is not good works, religious activity, human effort, but it is the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And Paul also knew that once he had discharged that responsibility, once he had told people the message and the truth about Christ, he was now free of any accountability for what they did with it. I believe that sense of spiritual responsibility, I believe Paul felt that acutely. And I feel every day when he went out and walked around in this world, he went out with the goal not of making money, not of being a big shot, not of laying up power or possessions, but every day he went out above all else saying, Lord, my goal today is to discharge that responsibility well. That's my number one goal when I walk out of my house in the morning. And that's what drove his passion. Now, I want to talk to you for a minute about this responsibility. I want to make sure you understand that it's really indeed a biblical teaching, that we really have this responsibility. One of the most haunting passages in the Bible for me is found in Ezekiel 33. Here's what it says. It says, if a watchman on the wall sees danger coming and he blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet and does nothing and loses his life, his blood will be on his own head. I mean, it's that own person's responsibility. However, if the watchman sees danger coming but does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and if the people perish, I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. Now, this is true. This is how we feel in normal everyday life, isn't it? That if you see trouble coming, you have a responsibility to warn people. I mean, how many of you guys saw the movie Meet Joe Black? You know that movie, all right? Stars Brad Pitt. And the story, very simply at the beginning, Brad Pitt goes in this little coffee shop and he meets this incredibly attractive young lady. And he's so enamored with this young lady that when they walk out of the coffee shop, he turns one way, she turns the other way. He goes to step out into the street and cross the street, but he's looking back at her because he's so taken with her beauty. And from his blind side, he never sees it coming as this automobile that hits him, throws him up in the air, and kills him. Now, it has a happy ending, so I mean, you know, it's not a real depressing movie. But listen, if you were standing on the street corner when Brad Pitt stepped out in the street, you say, Lon, if I were there, he wouldn't step in the street. I would have grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him. No. If you're standing on a street corner when anybody steps out in the street and they're looking the other way and there's a car coming, going to hit them, going to kill them, and they don't see it, and you're standing there, and you do nothing. You don't yell to them. You don't speak to them. You don't try to grab them. You don't rush out and push them. You don't do anything, and they get hit and killed. Hey, wouldn't anybody watching say, well, you know, some of the blame belongs to you. You didn't do anything. You were standing right there. You saw the car coming. Why didn't you do something? Part of this is your fault. Wouldn't we say that? I would say that. Well, that's what God's saying here. But he's saying it in a spiritual sense. Now he goes on and gets real personal with Ezekiel. And he says, Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. When I say to unbelievers that they will perish and you don't warn them, I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn them and they choose not to change, they will still perish, but you will have exonerated yourself. You'll be free of responsibility. Now, does this mean that every person that I fail to share Christ with, that I've condemned them to miss heaven? No, it doesn't mean that. God is big enough and powerful enough that if he has to, he'll send, he can and he will send somebody else to talk to them. It just means that when I stand in front of Jesus in that situation, he's going to say to me, you know, Lon, I covered for you with that person. I covered for you. That was your responsibility. I gave you that opportunity. You were the one who was supposed to share with them. Why didn't you? I don't know about you folks. I don't want a lot of those conversations with the Lord when I get to heaven. And I don't think you do either. You say, well, Lon, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, I'm going to write you a letter, son, because something's really bothering me here. And I, every time I share this, I just need to tell you, I get lots of cards and letters when every time I share this idea of our spiritual responsibility. And let me tell you what people say. So if this is what you're going to say, don't bother to write me the letter because people have already written me. If you want to say something else, that's fine. But anyway, this is what they write. And they say, I can't believe that you would try to motivate people to go out and share their faith by guilt, by obligation, by duty. I can't believe you would do that. I think that's totally wrong. Folks, listen, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just trying to tell you what I read in the Bible, to tell you how I interpret it to the best of my ability. And I'm telling you, when I read the Bible, I see this sense of spiritual responsibility there. Hey, if there were no spiritual responsibility on you and me to share Christ, no liability, no onus whatsoever, why did God say to Ezekiel what he said? You say, well, I can answer that. That's the Old Testament. All right. Well, let's move into the New Testament. Why, if there's no responsibility on us, did the Apostle Paul say to those Jews what he said? I am now clear of my responsibility. Why did he say that? What responsibility is he talking about if he's not talking about his responsibility to have told them the truth about Jesus Christ, to have told them the truth about what was going to happen to them if they rejected Christ? Why did he say here in Acts 20, I have declared to both Jews and Gentiles they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus, and I've done it, therefore I am innocent of the blood of all men. What is Paul talking about if he's not talking about that sense of spiritual accountability that we carry for the people we meet in life? You say, well, Lon, wait a minute. All right, let's say you're right. Okay, maybe you're right. Then if you're right, my question is, how come we don't see more people out there sharing Jesus Christ, huh? How come we don't see more followers of Christ with this kind of passion that Paul had if you're really right? Well, I think that's a great question. Let me tell you the answer. I don't think there is a single answer, but I'll tell you what I think one of the major reasons is, and that is doubt. We doubt that what the Bible says about people who don't believe in Jesus, we doubt whether it's really going to happen. There are people sitting in this auditorium today. There are people sitting in churches all across America today who really doubt that if you go out of this world without Jesus Christ, there is no chance for you to go to heaven. They doubt that. And folks, if we're going to have a passion for sharing Christ, we need to be absolutely convinced that every person we meet is headed for disaster in eternity, and that those people's only hope, that their only way out is Jesus Christ. If we have any doubt about that at all, it will undermine our passion for sharing Christ. It will soften our passion for sharing Christ. And eventually, it will dissipate our passion for sharing Jesus Christ. And so what does the Bible really say about this? Let's see if this is really what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son, meaning himself, has, present tense, eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see eternal life. But God's wrath, God's judgment remains on that person. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, look at that. No one comes to the Father. No one gets eternal life. No one gets to heaven unless they come through me. 1 John 5. This is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has eternal life. Watch. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. How can you say it any clearer than that? How can you be any more explicit? And that's why Peter went on to say, Acts 4, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Muhammad, not Rabbi Schneerson, not Joseph Smith, not Timothy Leary. Nobody. There is no other name by which we can be delivered. And friends, if there was any doubt about what's going to happen to people who go out of this world without Jesus Christ, listen to what Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 1. He says, God will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and will be shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Wow. That's what it says. Now, you have the choice to believe the Bible or not believe it, but that is the position of the Scripture. I've just given you a few passages. You say, well, Lon, you know what? I got some issues with this. All right, what are your issues? Well, my first issue is, why would God be so unfair? Why would God be so mean and so cruel as to do this to people? Well, if friends, just the fact you would ask that question shows that you have the emphasis on the wrong syllable. If you understand what I'm saying. You're looking at this thing all wrong. You see, here's how we have to look at it. Romans 5:12. Therefore, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death passed on all men. The Bible teaches when Adam and Eve, our progenitors, when they disobeyed God in the garden, they brought on the entire human race a curse. We call it the sin nature. As the result of that sin nature, which every one of us inherits from conception, we come into this world, Ephesians 2:1 says, separated from God. We come into this world spiritually dead, alienated from God, disconnected from God, and under the judgment of God, under the death penalty of God. That is how every human being is born. That is the natural, normal state of every human being in the world. Now, God, in his mercy, stepped in and made a way out. God, in his mercy, made an escape plan for the whole human race by sending Jesus to the cross and shedding his blood on the cross. But folks, if people reject God's escape plan, and they end up experiencing the consequences that God warns them are going to happen if they don't take the escape plan, how does that make God mean? How does that make God cruel and unfair? I'm sorry. It's not about God being unfair. It's about people being stupid. That's what it's about. And let me just say that if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to hear what I'm saying today loud and clear. Friends, these consequences in eternity, they are real. They are going to happen to people. And they're going to happen to you if you go into eternity without Jesus Christ. Now, that's just as put and as simple as I know how to put it. And if you're a wise person, you will grab the escape plan, the travel insurance, right now, and you'll make it yours so that these consequences can't happen to you. I hope you'll do that. You say, well, Lon, I got one more issue before you're done. All right, what is it? You say, well, what if somebody is like really sincere about God, but they're in another religion? I mean, like, what if they're a sincere Buddhist or a sincere Muslim or a sincere Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, or what if they're a sincere Jewish person? What if they're a sincere secular American who recycles? I mean, you know, if they're serious about whatever it is they're trying to do right, won't they be okay? Won't God say that's enough? Well, the answer, friends, is no. No, no, 1,000 times no. What did Jesus say? He said, no one, John 14:6, gets to the Father unless they come by way of me. You say, yeah. But look. I know the blood of Jesus is necessary to get to heaven. But if I'm as sincere as I know how to be in Buddhism or Islam or Judaism, why won't God take the blood of Jesus Christ and just kind of credit it to me? Just kind of credit it to my account, even though maybe I really wasn't following Jesus, you know, intentionally, knowingly. God could credit it to my account, can he? Friends, God can do anything, but he says in the Bible he won't do that. Listen to what he says. Romans chapter 10. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, not if we confess with our mouth that Buddha is nice or Muhammad is a prophet or Joseph Smith saw an angel or Rabbi Schneerson thought he was the Messiah or I try to keep the Ten Commandments. Doesn't matter. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, and if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, remember, what we're saying here automatically presumes you've got some information about Christ. You know his name. You know he's Lord. You know he was raised from the dead. So you have to know he died because he died before you can rise from the dead. You got some cognitive information about Jesus. And the Bible says when you're willing to believe it and accept it, it's then that you'll be saved. You say, well, how do people get this information? Do they absolutely have to have it? Romans 10, 17. So then, saving faith comes by hearing the facts about Jesus Christ, and then hearing comes from the Word of God, from the data that's in the Word of God. Friends, the most sincere Buddhist, Jewish person, Muslim, secular American in the world, the Bible is clear. These people need to hear the cognitive facts about Jesus Christ. About his virgin birth, his deity, his sinless life, his death on the cross, his blood payment for our sin, his resurrection from the dead, his offer of salvation. They've got to hear the cognitive facts and then believe them. And if they don't do that, they are lost, and headed for eternity in a horrible place the Bible calls hell. Now that's what the Bible says. And the Bible doesn't give any plan B. That's it. What this means is that every person you pass on the metro, every person you pass in the mall shopping for Christmas presents, everybody in your neighborhood, everybody at your school, everybody that rides the bus with you, everybody that works with you in your office, every relative you have in your family, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they are headed for a disaster in eternity. Man, they have stepped off the curb looking the other way and a truck is headed right for them. And friends, you and I have the data they need to change that. And maybe they're not ready to respond to it right now, but you know what? If we tell them right now, if we're faithful to share it with them right now, they'll have that data on hand when the time comes that they want it and they need it. And hopefully that time will come. So I want you to be an evangelistic person. And hopefully as a result of being here today and hearing about Paul, hopefully you'll take that seriously and talk to the Lord about being one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for reminding us today what this is really all about, that this is not about making money. You didn't leave us here to do that. You didn't leave us here to lay up possessions or to acquire power. You didn't leave us here to see how high we could rise on the corporate ladder. You left us here for one reason only, to be witnesses, to go out carrying a very acute sense of our responsibility for the people we pass every day. And then to discharge that responsibility to the best of our ability. And so, Father, my prayer now is that you would really speak to us deeply about this. And, Lord, that we would go out every day saying, this is my duty today. And, Lord, with your help, I'm going to carry it out. Help us to change this city for Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, one life at a time to change people's eternal destiny by the data we give them. And we pray that we could rock this town by unleashing an army of evangelistic people on this town. Make us one of those people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-8255. 7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?